Why you always all on my back? Why you gotta do me like that? Why you gotta act like a bitch when I'm with you?
Ian, there it is, Homie Cast 15.
15.
The gentleman.
I can't believe we made it.
It only took a year.
Is
that
what that is,
right?
I think it's
16.
It's our kinsay.
Yeah, this is our kinsay. Black pants like a young Doc Gooden. I mean, is everybody here a Homie Cast veteran? BJ, have you ever sat up for one?
Yeah, you've done two. I remember.
Right, so that means everybody's done it. All
right, that's
cool.
Right.
So we got Craig Kimberly here.
What's up, peoples?
B Dizzle?
Represent.
Got it.
See, okay, now BJ, you got into your college.
Sure, cute, yeah.
Now, do you have to worry about what you? Do you have to monitor what you say now? Can they bounce you?
Good.
Are you solid?
No, they can't bounce me.
So you're Teflon.
I'm good to go.
He's Teflon. Okay.
Teflon, like, got to get a certificate though, right? Like a diploma still.
Yeah, he's solid with that.
4.5 years.
No, I mean from
high school.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But yeah, if you don't graduate high school, they can back out.
Literally don't go to school the rest of the year, you're still going to Syracuse.
No. He's got to passing grades from here on out, and you're solid,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're not going to... Yeah, you went the early admission.
I stopped going to school.
Yeah. Rick Dowsett's here.
Hello.
The hero of last week. And my man, James Eves.
Yeah.
We are podcasting live from his joint, Cape Ann Gikla.
Gikli.
Yeah, that.
G-Clay. It's actually a French word that means to squirt. And in certain circles in France, when you say that, it means to squirt something specific.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, it's actually a dirty word in France.
And did that have any part in why you named it this?
No, I named it because I didn't want people coming here looking for business cards.
Right. You wanted to keep
it's a
high-end
printing company.
Clientele.
It says the word G-Clay on it. Only my clients know what that means.
Right. You want
yeah, the tourists end. Who come off the boat this summer on the down at the cruise port.
Well, they think it's
when they come walking around, there's going to be a line of French guys.
The Canadians come down here on a regular basis saying, "Where's the magazines?"
So we're coming off of one of the highs of the year, the two highs of the year, Fiesta for me and Dodgeball, I can't say enough about it. I was. Leading up to it, Craig pulled together the video last minute. We went to
last season's
2015 video put together. Picture. Was it 28 minutes or something?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And it was editing up until the final hour. Drove it up to En Fuego in Ipswich.
Boom! Hot
great crowd.
Off the laptop.
Everybody loved it. So the event went off without a hitch, and so I get in the car after the event, and Craig's driving, and I started to get very, very emotional. And
from Dodgeball?
Yeah, from Dodgeball. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Did I mention how emotional I was?
No, I didn't realize how emotional you were. I was, you know, probably ignoring you.
So, but what did I mention how, like, I was just like, I can't believe our friends, like, did I say anything like that, or was I keeping that internal?
Yeah, no, you said something to that effect.
You just sat there and cried, man. That's what I heard.
You posted it on Facebook.
I did post it on Facebook, but the gist of it was, if you didn't see it on Facebook, was how, like, you know, there's all these moving parts. Whenever we have, you have a big event, there's all these moving parts, and there can be things that go, you know, obstacles that get in your way, and I was just saying how fortunate we are to have, like, these incredible people in our lives, like Craig, last minute, pulls the video together. Frankie Gwynn doing a ton of stuff behind the scenes. Rick Dowsett, who on a Saturday all day long is driving the shuttle, like, you know, is up in the parking lot, not even part of the action, donates his whole day to get this done. And, like, countless other people, but, like, and Eric Lorden, who donates his time to serve food for the players and anyone. Every dollar that came across his table, he just handed that donation all to Camp Spindrift, which was our
epic.
Right. I mean, it was just such a classy move. And it's just like, the love this year's dodgeball out of all of them, like the Blinded by the White 3 year back to back to back champs got knocked off. They were gracious in defeat. Everybody was. It was just a big love fest, and I was just like, at the end of it, I'm like, I can't even describe how fortunate I feel to have all these people in my life. You know what I mean? It's just like these are like, you know, it's not a business. It's like it's just friends doing friend things,
doing fun,
and,
yeah,
and just having a fucking great time.
It I was. Mean, it was definitely, you know, out of the 4 or 5 I've been to, it was the best. It was the easiest going, the smoothest running.
The refs, you know, had a lot to do with it too.
Yeah, good sober refs. You know, it's something weird about having sober refs. It's fucking phenomenal. What
the difference. Should try that.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. They should, because it really was the difference. I think the players and the play got as high level as it could be. I mean, obviously we had real competition dodgeball teams coming in this year and competing with, you know, a bunch of the beer swilling locals that started this thing, and they got their asses kicked. So. Yeah, but they played well, though. They played really well.
They had a great attitude, but I was rooting against them.
Can't come in here.
The deeper that they got into the tournament, I was rooting against them.
Yeah.
Not because I didn't like them as people, but only because I was like, you can't just come in. Like, all these teams that have been competing 3 years in a row, and they're going to knock them off. Like, this team that travels around and does dodgeball is their life. Like, I was really hoping, like, either a farm team won or, you know, like, one of the teams that's, like, always there at the end. If it just hasn't taken the next level.
Ass with class, awesome. Man. If they would spend less time being classy and assy and more time working on their dodgeball skills.
They took 20 minutes to, like,
I mean, there's literally, like, they flew in some hors d'oeuvres in a helicopter.
is that the team that came in the white stretch limo?
No, that's the Filthy Milfs.
Filthy Milfs, yeah.
Yeah, no, Ass with Class was the owners of the farm. And they, like, dress up with tuxedos, and then they take the taking the clothes off.
They're serving martinis and taking off robes and stuff. So but it was great. Year, man.
Afterwards, like, half the people seemed to go to they wanted to go to Enfuego because they have a lot of space at Enfuego. They don't have to deal with hassles there. And a lot of Gloucester people went to Stones. So at Stones, and Alicia Cox's team descended upon this guy from the Crazy Ivan.
The big Crazy Ivan.
I had never... Have you... There's a difference between men and women. There's a lot of difference between men and women. But in this case, this guy was there, and there was five women. No, four women, because Alicia wasn't taking part of it. Like, literally pushing each other out of the way, trying to get with this guy. And, like... Guys would never do that.
No, we would defer to whoever had the best chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever saw her first.
Yeah. Or whoever saw her first. Right. Yeah. There would be some...
If one of our friends would be a lot of that we would all agree upon is the worst. Yeah, you just, a lot of subterfuge and, like, knocking a drink onto somebody and going, oh, look, why don't you go clean that up? Anyway, now that he's
Why don't you go buy us some drinks?
I don't know. Like, if any of my buddies was talking to a girl when I was single... There's no, I would never, ever, like
you wouldn't go bump him out of the way.
Never, 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 no, never dude, not even a little bit.
But you're assuming the end game expectation is the same.
Oh, the expectation.
The four of them may not have been looking to, you know.
Man, they were vultures pecking at a carcass, man. They were like.
You know, we're chit-chatting and being flirtatious. I wasn't there, but being flirtatious and.
No, they were saying, like, because we were sitting next to them, and, like, the girl was like. The girl that was closest to us was like, can you believe she just did that?
Fuck that bitch.
It was, Rick, it was over the top. I'd never seen it.
So you could have been moments away from a cat fight.
Yes.
This
would have been nice.
This is when we pull the plug.
That would have been epic.
Were they still wearing bikinis? Because that's a whole other event.
No, there was no bikinis being worn at this point.
In my mind, though, when they tell the story, they're wearing bikinis.
Okay, yeah. I pictured a pillow fight with... You know, garters and bustiers and pillow and feathers flying around and
I don't know. So
in the books, look out for this year's summer screening of the 2016 Bikini Speedo Dodgeball.
Well, now that you have your Mac Daddy, Craig has a new Mac computer. Run down the specs.
Oh, okay.
Quickly.
So it's the new. I went with the iMac for the first time. It's the iMac 27 5K monitor. With the quad 4 gigahertz i7 processor.
Oh!
Got 40 gigs of RAM to start, up to 62. G-Clan all over that bitch. Giclaying, I love that beach. Oh my god, that is sexy.
So the difference, like, you're important, so you need to import a video to edit it.
Well, like, I'm pulling up, like, you know, importing 100 gigs, I would have to sit back, you know, wait for that thing to churn.
Make
on
a
the
pot
old,
of coffee.
On the old Mac, and this thing just, it oof. Just,
chews
man,
it,
it rips through it like a fat kid at a cake shop, man.
Just, that's it, man.
It's just, it beats it up, man. Yeah. So it's, I'm very excited about that.
I think big everybody's going to be so, the beneficiary of your quick more, editing.
Yes, it'll definitely make a difference in my life.
Speaking, yeah, you could have been at the farm at 3.
True. Oh, I know, right?
Without sure. Thing. Oh, yeah. Easily.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of this, so you, people that may not know, you are a freelance video shooter and editor,
director,
television director, and DP, videographer and editor. Yes.
Yeah.
There's a special videographer for double penetration.
Yes, exactly. It's called double V double A.
And once you mention the word double penetration, all the other conversation gets kind of fuzzy anyway.
Yeah.
So leading up to Dodgeball, you were on two different you were gone for like 20 days or something. How long were you?
Yeah,
gone
I was. I don't know. It was like a couple 3 weeks or something.
3 weeks, and you shot one show, and then you kept one and you shot another show.
Well, right? Part of the stuff I was doing was for Steel, the chainsaw company. I do a bunch of stuff for them, and I was at the. You're not going to believe this exists, but it does, and it was pretty epic. I was at the 2016 Collegiate Landscaping Championships.
I think that was on ESPN.
It probably was.
Probably ESPN 8 Ocho.
Yeah.
ESPN Ocho. But,
and then you went to the mountain.
And then
show,
I was right? in Montana doing directing, shooting, and soon to be editing two episodes in full, and then another partial episode, and then pickups for like 9 other episodes. So like a great chunk of Sasquatch Mountain Man that's on the Outdoor Channel, which is a throwback Mountain Man show about hunting and fishing with this guy, a friend of mine now named Laramie Miller.
And
it's pretty epic.
So, and the photos you were sending back to everybody from Montana, Big Sky.
Yeah, Big
you
Sky.
You can understand why they call it Big Sky from
definitely
these photos.
Definitely can,
right?
Huh?
But so the interesting thing, so we got into this thing, and you were telling me. So you came over for the barbecue on Sunday.
Yes.
And you had this Arctic, and it's spelled R-T-I-C.
Arctic, yes.
Like a beverage,
coffee tumbler
kind of, type of thing. And you were telling. And you, why don't you explain the story about the difference between Arctic and Yeti?
Yeah. So Laramie Miller, who's Sasquatch on the show, Laramie Sasquatch Miller. By the way, it's not a Sasquatch show. His name is nickname Sasquatch. But he had this big old stainless steel coffee mug with this, you know, heavy-duty plastic lid, and he always had it all the time. And at first I had to, like, you know, hey, man, can I have that in a camera shot, you know, or what's the deal? So he's like, oh, I got a sponsorship with him. So, yes. I'm like, all right, well, fine. I'll put it in there. And I'm like, what's the deal with it? They showed me the mug and everything. And then, like, so I checked it out, like, 5 hours into the end of the day. And this thing was still keeping his coffee hot and stuff. Like, I was impressed with it. So I was like, man, I got to get one of those. And actually, a lot of times when I do travel, I'll buy, if I'm going to be gone for 2 or 3 weeks, I'll buy a travel mug when I get there just so I don't have to travel, pack one and bring it. Mm-hmm. Just so that I'll have one every day, you know, keep coffee warm, whatever. So I was like, all right, well, I'll go to the store and see how much those mugs are. I went to the store. And I already knew that this company was a competitor with Yeti. Arctic and Yeti, they're like Coke and Pepsi at this point. So I go to the store, and this mug, which I think is a 20 ounce, was $30, $35 or something crazy. I was like, whoa, that's absolutely
not gonna spend
insane.
That. Right.
Like, that's insane. I don't care how damn, this shit better do more than make keep hot, coffee hot. So, and I went online when I came home, and actually Arctic popped up on Facebook on one of those ad things. I clicked on it. They obviously figured out,
yeah,
I was looking for something.
Who you search it,
and then on their website, everything that I saw in the store was half price if you ordered from it directly. So it was like $15 for this mug. Now, so Yeti makes all these products, all the coffee mugs. Of course, they're a cooler company first. And so basically, they've undercut Yeti everything that they make
right
by half.
So let me. So this is where I'm going to pick up. So You were telling me the story about this.
Yes.
So I'm just intrigued.
And I said, hey, man, do you know that Cooler Comedy Yeti?
Right.
These people make the same shit, actually even better.
Right. So that, in the past 2 years, this seems to be a thing with, like, white men with a lot of disposable income, like how much money they can spend on their insane coolers. So we see a lot of fishermen and a lot of guys wearing Yeti, like baseball caps. They're like basically the trucker caps that say Yeti on them. And you get the cap with the $400 cooler. So I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, Craig's saying, oh, they're, you know, they smoke Yeti. They're the same product. I go to the website and for Arctic, R-T-I-C, literally, they may have a centimeter out of the way on the corner molding, but other than that, it's the same exact hasps. Like, everything is
same handles. Same,
yeah, they even have like a special clip handle that's better. It's yeah. The only thing that's different is their special clip.
But if you took the label off, you couldn't. Layman would not notice a difference.
That ties into Yeti has sued Arctic for copyright infringement.
Oh yeah,
did they
for a confusingly similar product back in December?
That does not surprise me. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me because still on their webs, if you go to the Arctic website, like. Basically, their whole sales pitch is, here's Yeti's cooler and here's our cooler, side by side.
Same thing, half the price.
Same, and they literally put Yeti's price, and they go right down.
I see half the price of Yeti coolers. Yeah. They should just change the name to F Yeti.
Yeah,
F Yeti.
You know?
Right. They should have called it Sasquatch instead of Yeti.
But
Squatch coolers.
I mean, so I posted, so I took a screenshot of their Facebook page, which compares them. And I sent it to Craig. I put it on Craig's his Facebook page, and I said, Craig, you weren't kidding. They're really going after Yeti, and this looks like if I had to have this stupid expensive cooler, which I would never spend that much, there's no question I would buy the Arctic. So a bunch of guys got on, and they're like, yeah, but Yeti's made 100% in the United States, and Arctic isn't. And I'm saying to myself, dude, you see the picture?
Freaking double.
They're exactly the same. At what point is there? So here's the question. So this is where I'm going with this. A long story to get to this point, and I'll go all the way around. Is there a dollar? Is there a percentage that you would spend for identical products more to buy American over something, say made in China? So.
This could take up the whole podcast.
But we're gonna.
It's a yes or no question.
So go ahead.
Yeah. One, I guess that would depend on, you know, if we're talking about $40 over 20 or $20,000.
No, same percentage.
Percentage.
Okay. Percentage wise would be. I mean, naturally, I would always want to try to buy American, especially if something's made in China and it's going near my face. I would say I'd be willing to spend 15 to 20% more for an American product, but it's got to stop at somewhere between 20 and 25. I guess you can't double charge me for something just because you fucking made it up the street.
Well, that's 100%. Double charging is 100%.
Right. So he's 15, 20. Go ahead, B.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. I'd say I wouldn't spend more than 25%. If it was like for an identical product, there's no way I'm spending more than 25%.
There you go.
Yeah, it comes down. It runs a parallel to the shop local idea that you'd like to shop local. You got to be in the ballpark, but if you get something on Amazon for $6 and you can get it down at some unnamed store for $20, it's awful hard not to get it for $6 with that free 2-day shipping, you know?
That's a tough
time. But I think you, like Craig said, that depending upon what else is in that product, you know? And then I go the other, I'm just going to rant for a minute if you don't mind.
Then I go
the other way and people say, geez, what about, you know, that poor kid in Indonesia that's making sneakers. And you go, well, without the sneaker factory, that poor kid was
in starving.
10 years ago, the kid would have been a male prostitute at 10 years old or 8 years old.
Yeah.
So the atrocities that are going on in those countries without the crappy ass 90, you know, 15 cent an hour job or whatever it is,
yeah,
it's lousy to us because our standard has gone up. But at some point, they got to get out of the, you know, the atrocities that are going on, and that's the way to do it. I don't think it's politically correct. I don't think it's what we want to hear, but at some point, kids making shoes is a lot better than kids serving as sex slaves. So it's almost a necessary step up for entire countries that way.
What about you, Jane?
I would pay up to 50% more. That's my first answer, because, you know, the big difference between our country and their country is that we expect $15 an hour now. And so you're going to have to pay some more to buy American made. And if we keep our money in the country, blah, blah, blah. The other conversation I have around that is that I'm a American business. I buy everything here is American. You know, I get all my supplies from American made companies, blah, blah, blah. But I charge the same as the Japanese companies. I mean, it's possible for an American company not to charge two freaking times.
The double. Yeah.
These guys are capped. They're not charging more because
it costs twice as much. Because it costs twice as much
to build in America. They're charging more because they're dicks.
Well, is there a formula? Is there like a...
No, I'm saying that it's possible to, competitive in the world market and purchase American-made products, and I would pay up to 50% more to keep it local.
But what I'm asking is there a formula in certain businesses? Like, I've heard it before, sporting goods is 100% markup on everything. That's the formula.
Right.
You know, furniture, so you might be, in order to stay competitive with the Japanese market, you might be getting 30% over your cost when the rest of the industry worldwide is 100% over their cost.
Well, I get and for you, more 30% over my cost.
I don't know your numbers. You know, you didn't show me the books. I'm just saying.
I was about to be really fucking dark in here.
What I'm saying is that the margins. Yeah. You're willing to take a lesser margin in order to stay competitive.
That was my point. I take a lesser margin than some of my competitors who are, you know, not buying locally, not being committed to buying locally.
And I think I'm guessing Joey.
But I still make plenty of money, and I'm able to be competitive price wise.
Well, that's a super altruistic viewpoint. You're willing to take less money where you could get cheaper product, cheaper materials.
Well, there's more to conducting. It's one of the reasons why I'm a GMG contributor and all that stuff. Because being an active participant, a responsible participant in my community requires a lot of things. You know, it requires some of my time that I don't necessarily want to give or that doesn't necessarily benefit me in any way, shape, or form. And in this case, it requires me to, you know, to take less of a profit. I still make money. I mean, I still make good money. It's the whole thing with the CEOs taking $800,000. You know, they're getting 800 times what their workers are getting. They could take less money and still be filthy fucking rich. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's my point, is that, you know, I won't pay more than 50%. If it gets to 50%, you know, I figure, you know, it's like that BMW scenario back from a few years back when BMW said they were going to make a cheap car. And all the BMW's owners rallied and said, no, you can't make a cheap car. We don't want the underclass to be able to afford a BMW. We want the logo to be synonymous with wealth.
Same thing with, like, Marshalls. You start seeing, like, certain handbags at Marshalls, and none of the women want that handbag anymore.
Right, because
up to 50%, you're willing to be a partner and just not a majority partner.
Right, I have a limit. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to pay 100% more for a product that I, you know,
cables.
That's the perfect, same. Like, in
perfect
this case,
example is cables.
Well, the perfect example is this right here. This thing is literally 100% more than another competitor that's using parts from overseas. Well, I'm not going to give that guy, the Yeti company, twice the money.
Yeah, no matter how brand
loyal
I don't care
if it's, you know, my loyalty to my community in America and all that stuff, at some point, you know, I have to take care of.
Right.
I mean, I
have to do what makes sense.
If Yeti was made in Gloucester and they still charge those prices, I wouldn't pay.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Right. I would still be
And I try to support anything that's local.
Yeah, I'd get that's them,
the, that's I'll, make, in a I'll make the argument then. So Yeti comes up with this new
non-douchebag line.
You know, they come up with, this is the way coolers can be, this is the way it is, and RTIC comes over, Arctic comes over and goes, that's great, we're going to take it. And by the time the lawsuit comes through, we're going to sell so many at half price. You know, you guys have been working for 2 years before you sold anything trying to figure it out. Now you figured it out, we're going to take it, we're going to make it, undercut you. Is that fair?
Oh, the law will should do, dictate well, that.
That's when the price of doing it, right?
Yeah, that's
the price of doing it.
So not having
proprietary. Yeah.
Thank you, proprietary.
Yeah, if Yeti didn't have, God forbid, if they didn't have their, you know, T's crossed and I's dotted and all that stuff legally, that's their damn problem.
Well, there's still
they might have had a patent.
So maybe they did, but it's going to take how many appeals to get it
figured out.
And they'll get the money from the other company.
And during those 2 years, Arctic might sell $10 billion.
And if I was Yeti, I would already be starting another company. If I was Yeti, I'd be starting another company.
And you're hoping they give up in time.
That's the case.
I don't know. I think Yeti Company is one of those
American
companies.
So the lesson to be learned is go buy Arctic right now.
That's playing on
American stuff.
Americans, you know, freaking ideal, you know.
Oh, it's branded. They got the brand right now because you see all these guys. They want to wear that hat that they get with the Yeti cooler. Mm-hmm. They want to tell everybody that I can afford to buy a Yeti cooler.
It's like Craig's Apple with the i7 chip.
No, that's a workhorse.
He paid twice for that, for the same exact computer components that you could get from, you know, other computer companies.
Not Apple one, so.
So I'm going to show you third option.
Apple uses the same components, an i7 chip. But you're talking about
the operating system is different, though.
The operating system is
different. That's a different animal, though.
But no, but the hardware is...
I understand, but
he paid twice for the hardware.
But his systems all are in that operating system.
That's why Apple for a very short time, like Microsoft back when Bill Gates and Steve Jobs first were playing against each other, Bill Gates made one of the smartest decisions in computer history. He says, I'm going to stop making computers and I'm just going to license my operating system, because that was where the brilliance was in the operating system, the DOS operating system. And then Dell, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, blah, 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 it goes on forever, all put his operating system. Apple didn't do it. Right. And then in the 90s, Apple said, well, maybe we should have done that. And they did it, and it didn't work.
Okay, I'm cutting off your computer lesson.
Okay.
Did you chime in with your...
So there's a Massachusetts competitor I was waiting to get to before all this shit. There's a company called Wicked Coolers.
Okay.
And they have made their own...
Version of it.
And I saw these guys at a fishing trade show last year, and I think they're made in like India. And so here they are, like, this is the 104 quart one. They're charging $280 for it. You know what costs them, like $14? You see a Yeti cooler or an Arctic cooler in person, you see the construction is impeccable. I mean, it's phenomenal. It's military grade. And then I saw these, and it looked like someone had molded it in their garage, too. It was so bad. It had the weight, and the plastic felt like it, but the seams and the mold was just, it was shady business, man.
I'm right along with Craig on this, 20%, 15-20% for me.
So I'm looking at Arctic site here. So $400 for a cooler. I can't buy a mini fridge for $79.
Well, you're on a boat for 5 days.
You pay me $400, and I'd run.
You run it out to me.
I would just call you on a regular basis.
I will pay James $400 and be like,
well, alongside of the car with it.
I'll bring you ice whenever you call.
Ice cold beer right now. Morning, noon, night, no matter where I am.
Yeah. So just so you know, people that don't know, like, these coolers are phenomenal. Like, you can throw a bag of ice in there and come back 2 days later, and it ain't started melting. I mean, these are insane coolers. They're extreme.
I need that.
Well, I mean, if you're a fisherman that's got to, you know, if you're out to sea for 5-6 days, you got to keep things cool, and you can't buy any new ice. There's reasons that people need them. I went to a thing in New Mexico, a rendezvous reenactment for mountain men doing some filming.
What the hell? What?
And yeah, so these people out there in the deserts, 105 degrees in the sun all day. And behind their, you know, living like they used to in the 1890s, they got a damn Yeti cooler covered up underneath a bunch of wool blankets. And for 6 days, that thing had the ice is still there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's people that use them. But, you know, anyways, it's a Rolex. Yeah, tell us, Tom.
Right, it's a Rolex, BMW, Apple.
So
I think, I don't want to give up this topic just yet. It just occurred to me, the gigantic fake boobs.
Japanese man.
Because I generally...
That occurs to me. That's funny, because that occurs to you're me all the time.
I generally single gigantic fake boobs. The thought of it being, if you're wearing a Rolex, and you feel better about yourself, and you carry yourself a little bit different, and somehow...
And that's this what it is, takes.
You're like, you know what? I'm ready to meet the day today. I'm here I am.
Right.
You know,
and you negotiate harder on that business deal, and you make an extra $50,000.
When they get a little, you know, a little augmentation, as the kids call it these days, you know?
Makes
when they
you get feel
a little,
better.
And they kind of like, they walk a little bit straighter and a little bit prouder, and they have a little more self-confidence, and life is different. Not because life changed, but because their approach to it changed. Wow. So maybe the Rolex and the Igloo cooler are the...
Igloo.
The 42 double D's.
Maybe it is, yeah.
I think for guys.
You got to factor that all to the
you
cost.
Know, and you know, all I heard was 42
doesn't
double
that factor
D's.
Into how much you're going to pay for it? Like, don't you got to think about that? Like, well, if you're going to get the Rolex and it's going to make you... Yeah. Like, you're going to be way more confident, then you have to factor that into the cost of how much you're
going
to
be way more confident.
If I had a Rolex, I'd be a friggin' movie star by now. You know? Yeah. That's all that's holding me back. Somebody buy me a goddamn Rolex. Just
a, well, I think that's a conversation.
If we could just get a Kickstarter going to buy me a Rolex, I'm pretty sure I would conquer Hollywood.
That's all it takes.
I think you would.
So every year I go back to this next topic, and it's just something that drives me crazy. Currently, I pay $181 a month cable. Internet, what's the other?
Cell phone. Play.
Cell phone. No, not cell phone.
Telephone.
Telephone. Yeah. Telephone, which you never use.
Zero. Mine's forwarded
zero
to my
use.
Cell phone.
They say you can't not have it, basically, if you want
so,
to.
So, Joey, just every month when you write that check, do you take a Silkwood shower afterwards? Do you feel dirty, that just the kind of dirty that won't go away?
I get angry. I literally get angry.
You should.
So, okay, here's my... This is how I've approached it. I pay that, right? Because certain people in my house want certain channels.
Right.
Certain people.
Not naming names. Certain people want certain
channels. Oprah.
Channel. Lifetime.
That's Lifetime right. channel? Not necessarily, no.
Bravo, you know, baby.
Some, home shopping?
Bravo.
You know, different channels. But I have Hulu. I have Amazon Prime. And I have Netflix. All right, so there's 30. No, well...
That's more than 30 now.
I'm not Amazon Prime, I'm not even going to count because the service is so awesome. I'm not even going to count that.
$90 a year.
So I'm actually like $16 for the two other two.
Right.
Plus the $180. I'm at basically $200.
$200, right.
But they went way up on me after the first year of the contract. It was $143.
Right.
And then they pounded me.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they
and
get
I'm,
you.
And I'm disgusted.
Comcast,
yeah, and I have. So I also have in on the second floor because I don't have cable on the second floor. A VHF antenna, UHF antenna, whatever it is, gets 4, 5, 7, 25.
So you can get your regular channels.
I get those in HD, and they come in
HD antenna.
They come in crystal clear. I'm just curious. What I'm going to go around again. We're going to go this way though. What has been your strategy? What's your television internet strategy right now? And have you contemplated changing it?
Yes, I have.
Every time you write out the check, do you contemplate changing it?
I have. No. I don't watch any of the channels on television.
Yep.
I just don't watch them. I watch Netflix, I watch Hulu, and that's about it.
Yep.
I binge watch the occasional show, and other than that, I just.
Oh, you go to Barry's to watch football.
Barry's don't watch football, but I don't really watch television. You know, like I don't have shows and Tuesday nights
have,
or whatever. I used
cable?
To know all that stuff. I do. I have everything. I have full boat cable. More
what's
than,
your what's your time? What's your
my
monthly bill?
My monthly bill is about two something, two and change for the cable.
Wow.
Two and
so
change for the cable because I have everything.
Okay,
I have every movie
like
channel,
HBO, and
every
stuff.
Single movie
I don't
channel.
Have okay.
I have all the movie channels. I have everything.
So okay,
and I called the cable company.
Yeah,
because remember you said before that 140, and then all of a sudden it was like 300 or whatever. I called the cable company and I said, "I want you to lower my price now." And she says, "Let me transfer you to customer satisfaction," which was the name of the department. And they transferred me to customer satisfaction, and I said, "I want you to lower my price now." And she dropped my bill by like $60.
Yeah. So now you're
all I did was make a phone call.
Wait,
and
are
I
you
want
220
you to lower
now?
My,
or are you?
No,
160?
Now I'm back to 180.
180.
Or 160.
Like right around where I am.
Right. So that was a phone call.
And you're comfortable with that.
Yeah, because you know, because my wife likes Bravo. They have it, so you know you're screwed.
Yeah, you can't a la carte the whole thing.
You're screwed because
you're still getting ribbed, but you get flowers.
Yes, that's right.
Reach around.
If I could just buy Bravo for $5 a month, and I could buy whatever the other channel four or five channels, I could probably get away with paying $25 a month cable bill.
Yeah, but then you have to have internet. Right.
Well, the internet, to me, the internet is necessary. Until they just internet the whole planet, that's a necessary evil. I pay that twice. I pay it here and I pay it at home.
Yeah, me too.
So my internet bill is actually, you know, my internet, my cable, my, you know, I pay Xfinity.
But they won't let you get, they won't let you do one without, it's like.
No, they have it, they have it worked out so that you can't, and actually once you have the whole package, I can say I want you to cut all my movie channels. How much is my bill? And it's like $6 less a month.
Right.
So okay, well I'll stay where I am.
They have it figured out.
You would think, okay, I'm giving up everything. 20 or 30 premium channels. I should be able to get like a big percentage off my bill. Nope, it's like $6.
Rick, what's your strategy?
Right now I have basic cable, digital package is like $109 or something like that. My internet is Verizon. It's been $29.99.
Is that separate than the cable?
Cable's Comcast.
Oh, you have Verizon?
So $29.99 a month for Verizon DSL, and I've had that for like 10 years.
You still run a DSL?
What am I going to get?
I don't know.
Do you Netflix? Do you do Netflix and all that stuff?
Yeah. Very rarely it'll freeze up.
A string and two cans? I don't know. What's faster than DSL now?
How much faster do I need it?
I don't know.
It doesn't bother him, apparently.
If he doesn't know, he doesn't know. Yeah. If he doesn't know, it's not a problem.
I'm like the guy watching black and white TV going, color smaller. I don't know what, I don't know what you people are crazy about anymore. You with your 24-inch televisions.
So do you consider, so you happy where you're at?
No, it's complete horseshit. You know? I have Netflix. I have Amazon DSL, Prime that I never watch.
Oh, really?
I've never watched. I have the WWE Network.
That's nice.
I used to have Hulu, and I'm sitting there going, I think the WWE Network is ahead of its time, and that the I want all the content that ABC has for $12 a month, and I want all the content that CBS has for another $12 a month. And pretty much what I understand is that that's pretty much what cable is. Except here's a whole bunch of shitty channels no one ever wants to watch. Those cost us 2 cents a month to send you, like the Spanish channel and the shopping channel and there's all this. So that's why we have 500 channels, because here's all the completely inexpensive channels that we're going to load on here so you feel like you're getting a lot. Mm-hmm. So my inclination is probably going to be get an HDMI cable, antenna, because then not only will I get 4, 5, and 7 and that, I'll get what I've recently discovered up in the 900s of Comcast is like UTV and Buzz TV, which has, I can watch Johnny Carson every night at 10 o'clock, and I can watch All in the Family and the Jeffersons. Oh, that's cool. And
if you get to a
Match Game 77.
You got a fucking time capsule?
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Here's a tip. If you go to Radio Shack, they'll let you take one of those antennas home.
Yeah.
Try it. If it doesn't work, you can bring it home. Yeah. So there's no.
It's like you get 25.2, 25.6, 25. Right. You know.
Well, and you get, couple there's that a lot with, of triples that you get from Boston, New Hampshire, and the same channel, three different places. You have just
different variations of it though. They'll show old school stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's my thought, is that at some point we'll all be able to dial in that way and.
But you're not changing anytime soon.
I'll tell you what. This is how cable companies make money. I'm thinking about changing. I've been thinking about changing for 4 years.
Me too. 4 years.
Jesus Christ! I got to drive the friggin' box all the way up to Beverly. I have to add to mine.
Go quick.
I have a Hulu. I have two Amazon Primes. I have two Netflix accounts.
Why?
Because I have seven human beings that feed off of my Netflix account. And when you have a digital Netflix, only three devices be accessing it at one time.
Oh.
And so one day I just signed up for an extra Netflix account. Just so I didn't have to share it with anybody. So I pay for a Netflix account, and they all fight over it, and then I have my Netflix account.
PJ does. You don't pay for this.
I don't pay for the bill, no.
No, go ahead.
I only watch the Pats, the Celtics, and the Sox, and I watch my friend. I have my friend's Netflix account that I watch.
And that's it.
That's another question.
Oh, your family doesn't have a Netflix account?
I don't think so. Yeah.
They said that I read an article that Netflix actually at one point encouraged users to share their account. Because they just wanted penetration.
It's like viral marketing. You know,
they wanted like, people to get on board. What about you? What's your strategy?
Yeah, I think the internet's like, I have the same bundle thing where I called and bitched and drop it down and, you know, add the phone, take off this, add that, and so yeah, I got the phone that literally I don't even know the fucking number.
I don't even.
I house to God, dude.
I have.
And when it rings, I'm like,
the
"What
either.
The fuck was that?" And it goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I butt dialed." I'm like, "Who the fuck has my home number? That's not supposed to have."
So, I have a home phone.
So yeah, I've got the. Well, I did it because it saved me $8 a month. Apparently, which is a total crock of shit.
You had like
save. They lower your price.
Yeah,
right.
They lowered you if you bundle it. So yeah, I think it's like $1.50 to $1.80. You know, the NFL stuff, whatever sports package I can get. But yeah, it's like, you know, not counting cell phones.
So what I've gathered so far is none of us are willing to cut the
cable. I haven't cut the cable yet. I got Netflix.
None of us are willing to cut out the cable.
I got all that
shit. I'm not living in an environment where I can cut the cable.
I could easily
cut the cable in a heartbeat.
I would be fine. Cutting the cable and keeping Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, and my UHF thing.
Yeah, all I need is internet access.
Yeah, if I could get, you know, HBO for Game of Thrones, you know, I've been paying for HBO for 5 years. I watch it 16 weeks out of the year.
Yeah, but you can now go onto Netflix and get HBO.
Get HBO.
Is now independently sold through other companies.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like you'd have to $10.
So, yeah, but the crazy thing, like...
And you'd pay for just that show.
It would be interesting. Rick was pointing out all the channels. It's so true. And it's been this way for, you know, 25 years. But it'd be really interesting to see nationally, like, a poll of, you know, how many channels do you actually watch weekly? And I know it's 10 or less.
Oh, I definitely
absolutely.
You know,
because
really for me it's like, you know, it's sports, some news, and some other sports. You know, it's like, you know, and then like Game of Thrones or, you know, one of these other episodic shows or something, or, you know, Better Call Saul, one of those things you can watch instantly or binge watch. But binge watching's taken over everything. Like, who the hell wants to sit and wait through commercials nowadays anyways?
Or wait a week for the next episode to come out.
Yeah. I mean, back then that was the model.
Yeah, I just ignore the show until...
Well, binge watching.
Yeah.
Like, I got to have at least
Vince
three Gilligan episodes lined up.
Breaking Bad, we'll talk about it. That's what saved Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Is that by the time it started to catch on, it was already...
It was already on Netflix.
It's already so gone. And then by the time they got up to the fifth and sixth season, people were binge watching to catch up. And that became... I mean, think about when Orange is the New Black comes on or something like that. Everybody talks about it at once because it's all released at one time.
Yeah. Right. The whole season. Know?
And
right.
that's mind-blowing to think about networks not trying to fight for that weekly commercial dollar and just saying, here's 12 episodes.
Yeah, pay for it.
You know, and over the next 4 days...
We own the
market
3 months,
everyone's going to talk about this for the next 2 months.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go away for 10 more months and then we'll have another season.
Yeah. And,
House of Cards, whatever it is, it's...
And now you go back... I mean, we all go back and rewatch stuff now. Unless you DVR'd it back in the day... I mean, you don't go back and rewatch stuff like you do when it's binged, when a whole season's there at once. You'll go back and rewatch stuff. You can even DVR stuff and won't go back and rewatch stuff as much. But when you can go to Netflix, click on season one, you know, The League, you're going to sit there and watch six episodes in a row one night. Mm. You know, knock out half a season.
I've never DVR'd anything.
There you go. It's like
I never had a DVR.
Oh, man, the X one.
Even though I know my cable box can do it, I can't be bothered to figure out.
The new stuff, when you can go... John Wayne.
The Xbox.
And then all the John Wayne movies pop up instantly. I mean, it's pretty sick.
Can you guys believe... So for the last 2 or 3 years, we've been going to the Bruins playoff games. I don't really...
Not for the last two or three years.
For the last
3 years ago was the last time we went. Or it's been 2 seasons ago was the last time we went.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, last year, this year, we didn't go because we didn't make it.
Didn't make it last year. Okay. It's just so weird to me. Like I don't watch Bruins hockey during the season too much because, you know, work and stuff like that. But playoff hockey is awesome. It just so seems so strange to not have a, like a Boston team. Like I kind of was counting because this time of year is when I have off.
Start tuning in.
They were like, "Oh, we're gonna like 2 months ago." I was like, "Oh yeah, and either, you know, in May we'll definitely get the guys. We'll whatever the tickets cost, we'll get the tickets. And we'll go to a Bruins playoff
game.
That
was the plan.
It's just like
no pejorative intended because I'm in the exact same boat as you. Does that make you a Bruins pink hat?
So people would say
it is,
that.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, well, there's no debating that you're a fan of.
Pink hats are completely uninformed and have no idea what's going on.
Could you name six people on the Bruins?
Nope.
No. Then we're pink hats.
Well, I mean,
what I'm saying is the players
could, and I don't watch it.
I don't pretend to know everything. The experience of going into a playoff game, to me, I would rather go to one playoff game and spend, you know, six times the price of what I would normally pay to go to a bunch of meaningless regular season games.
Meaningless, which makes him a pink hat as well.
No, those regular season games.
So let's pick a team and go. What do you want to go? Chicago? Detroit?
It's over.
Who's in?
It's over.
Those
playoff games when they have the nowadays with the Bruins.
There's nothing.
With the audio, video.
Flushers.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like
it. Your heart is just... They have a 30-person audio visual department putting together that program for the playoffs. Have you been to a playoff Bruins game?
No.
Rick, I'm going to tell you. I'm not
opposed to it. I just haven't been.
Well, you won't have the chance this year once again, but
right.
I got to tell you,
next
Joey,
year you're coming with us if they make it.
Okay. Well, what about the Celtics?
Why don't we have a playoff? I'm serious. Let's pick a team.
Let's pick a team
this year. Let's go.
But yes, I got to tell you, man, when I walked into that was a playoff game we went to.
Right.
3 years ago. When I walked into that, you know, I've walked into Fenway, I've walked into Gillette, I've walked into Three Rivers and Heinz Field and, you know, FedEx. I've been into several. When I came down that corridor and we walked out to the first opening to just see what was going on, I'll never forget that in my entire life. The energy, the intensity, by the way, nothing has ever matched it in a live event I've ever seen. Nothing. Like, maybe a Metallica concert in 89, maybe. The over the top power.
Ten times larger Patriots fan than Bruins fan. But if I'm going to go to one playoff game, I'd go to
an NHL final to see the Bruins. I would take that over going to a Super Bowl to see the Steelers.
This is crazy.
That's how unbelievable.
Rick, what were you going
to
say?
The energy is.
I haven't grown up being able to afford playoff games or going to games a lot. The only thing I can
or Yeti
right
coolers.
Now following that. I did some plays in London years ago and we went to a game, the Wimbledon Dons versus the Tottenham Hotspurs. And they were both at the bottom of the Premier League team. Vinnie Jones, who was like the one of the like Chip Nylund, the Canadians then, you know, was like one of the premier bad guys, that type of thing. And this stadium with like 20,000 people was
probably 60
louder. No, it was like 20. It wasn't big. It was Wimbledon. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Manchester United or Leeds or, you know. But it was so loud the entire game and the energy that was going on. Like you were just saying about, and these were two, this like the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, it's playing, just a game.
You know, playing the Padres. You know, and all of this like. And I got the Wimbledon Dons because we're playing at the Dons thing, but I wanted to sit in the Hotspurs, the Tottenham side, because there were 15 pounds versus 20 pounds for the seats. I start walking in with my Dons scarf on. And the security guy goes, no. And I go, he goes, you're not. I get an accent. I'm not even going to try it. You can't sit on this side with that scarf on. And I go, what do you mean? I bought the scarf. I got my ticket right here. And he goes, no. Nothing good is going to happen with you sitting with the home team on the visiting side gear. And it was just the vitriol and the I don't even want to say anger, because it was, but there were like energy. The chants and the songs and Vinnie Jones is a wanker, and it was huge. It was like Metallica or a rock concert, or it was
game 7
of something.
See that I pictured those fans being incredibly passionate and rabid and stuff like that. The Bruins thing...
And this was two shit-bum teams.
The Bruins thing is incited by the audio-visual thing that they've done. Yeah. It's the lighting.
It's the energy.
The lighting and the sound system and what they're showing on the screen and the announcer, they build it into...
Yeah, it's a fucking nightclub with an ice rink in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Is it wrestling?
It's bigger than wrestling.
Are we just short?
I've been to WrestleMania. It's 10 times. And WrestleMania is 50 times bigger. And the wrestling ring looks like a little teeny square in the middle of the state. You can't even see it. Nothing compares to it. It's like a fucking Pink Floyd concert. You know, but the guys are ice skating and shooting hockey pucks around.
I don't, Rick, you didn't say, like, I didn't grow up going to playoffs. I didn't go, I didn't either. I totally didn't. But, like, the money for the game is not completely outrageous when you, like, we sit in nosebleed seats. We paid like 140, and 125 like, bucks, 150 bucks for a ticket, there. Which is a little bit excessive and everything. But it is if you do it once a year, it was probably the best money I spent that whole entire year. Like, you know what I mean? That experience.
It really was.
For a future podcast, we should have a exorbitantly priced things that are the best money you've ever spent.
Yeah. I have a couple
because
of those.
I think there are things, there are experiences that you have that you relive or you retell as stories.
Payback.
That you spend money
many
on.
Many times over.
You know, doesn't have to be like, that one time in college.
Yeah, and then also the least money you spent that changed your entire life.
Yeah, just things that are
like a shower head.
I couldn't believe how good this.
Like
was.
A new shower head every single day.
We
I get up
are
and get
so attracting the young audience with this. That mug's too expensive. Fuck that cable bill. I'm not paying for those tickets. It's like a whole podcast so far is like you're old and you don't want to.
These
spend money.
Kids are on their phones all day.
No, I'm saying the complete opposite. I'm saying
busting balls. Well, let's just. So I'm saying continue into the rock and roll rap.
I'm busting balls.
There's nothing more real in the kids better than that.
They don't even know who we're talking
Don
about.
Don Henley, that's rock and roll.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable.
That was a kid, skipping. Ricky Nelson.
No, I'm just going to go to this right here with the gas. Oh, I want to talk a little bit about this. Just briefly, quick. You know, since I got my Weber grills and stuff like that, and I cleaned up these Weber grills and. The fun that I'm having on them for such short money, it sickens me to think of how much money I spent on gas grills in the past 12 years. I probably have $1,800 into gas grills over the past 12 years, and like I spent $75 on that Weber Craigslist grill that I know I'm going to get 7 or 8 years out of.
But why?
Huh?
Why is charcoal
Did you just ask that question to these guys?
That's fine. That's simple. Like, if I had a piece of burning log here and you wanted to cook something over it versus if I held up 12 lighters and I was going to cook you something over it, what's going to taste better? It's just real simple. Wood and charcoal taste better than just plain old butane.
I think this
it adds flavor.
For me, it's several things. For one, I think there's a huge fallacy on how much longer
it takes to get charcoal.
To how long it takes to get a charcoal going. Like, you know, like they, you know.
Well, that I've noticed in the last couple of weeks with you guys.
Like when Eric
Lorden. You can be cooking 20 minutes.
Toby bought Eric Lorden a chimney. And he's like, you get, you know, this is how you start it, charcoal chimney. And literally it was
no
12 minutes. And you're cooking. Right. Whenever I started my gas grill, I would let the thing, I would start it up, go inside the house, and let the grates heat up for, you know, seven to ten minutes. Yeah, I'd lose track of it sometimes.
It could be 15 minutes while you're prepping.
Minutes. Right, exactly.
Shit up and do whatever.
But that's artistry. You know, I think most people, if I can microwave a hot dog or I can grill a hot dog, I'm not saying me. I just can microwave it because it'll take 1 minute. In 60 seconds, you're going to be eating a hot dog. And I think the time that it takes, I don't think everybody waits 10 to 15 minutes to eat the grill. I think they flip the fire on and throw the meat on. And that's why their meat sticks to the grill and they have problems with it. But I don't think there's a value set for most people of understanding the importance of waiting or charcoal or cooking over fire or as opposed to gas or why don't I just microwave a hot dog.
So there's another part.
We have an educational moment right here.
So here's another educational part. Mental therapy, right? When you're cooking with charcoal, you know, there are strategies and stuff, and you have got to be into
it. You
got to
figure it out.
You're handling something that can, you know, sear your hand off, whatever, if you're not careful, whatever. You have to be in tune with it. It is cathartic. To me, it is. I mean, maybe it isn't to everybody, you know what I mean? Like, especially like when you're slow cooking. Like, to me, right now, at this point in my life, there's nothing, other than watching my daughter play soccer, there's nothing I would rather do than be in the backyard, like slow cooking, you know, like adjusting the vents just to get the right temperatures for a low, slow pork butt or whatever it is. And at the end,
I just want to tear up.
I know I'm going to have this incredible meal. And it's just, it has given me more pleasure this past year cooking with these grills that not that expensive, than all of the grilling that I've done in the past, or cooking, any type of cooking that I've ever done. Is it the same for you?
Oh, well, you know, man, it's like, for me, it's absolutely the process. And there's, you know, it is, maybe typical or corny as it might sound, but there's definitely, there's without a doubt an instinct about properly handling fire, knowing how to cook on it, you know, putting that fucking meat on that damn fire, knowing the quality of that meat is, knowing how you prepped it, whether it's a fish you caught or something you shot or something, you know, a select meat you bought at the store. But there's something about it, man, and it is therapeutic too. And there's also the result, like, you know, it's more than just like when you're cooking inside and doing whatever, sautéing or baking, whatever. There's something about the process, the maintaining of it correctly, and then the result, seeing that piece of meat that went on there 8, 10, 12 hours ago, and then knowing that every 30, 40 minutes the work
you're talking about. They're not talking about grilling. We're just talking about smoking.
Well, we'll talk about that.
This guy sits in front of a grill.
It's just got pornographic, I really. Yeah, I'm just like
anticipating this meal for 12 hours.
I went and spent an entire day with Greg, and all we did was look at a grill.
Oh, and it's just, to me,
that's all we did. And it was pretty, it was most relaxed.
Something happens the moment that you make the decision.
Connected day I've had in years.
And I've noticed this. The moment that you decide that you're going to cook something on that grill versus a process inside, everything changes. For the rest of that night, for the rest of that dinner, the experience, the party, whatever it is, when this is the process you're undertaking, it is everything. And even simple like today, we grilled up some wings before I came here. Process of pulling out the grill, getting the coals right, getting, you know, firing it all up. It was like it sparked something in you. And you're touching on it, and you've actually pointed it out, and I've never realized it for years, but seeing it happen to you, because I've never watched it happen to somebody else, it sparked something, and I can't explain what it is. I literally...
The other part is you can get out there.
No, it's a religious thing.
There's a satisfaction to it. Yeah, I mean, there's we're both getting better and better at our craft. And you're putting food on a table. It's tasty as shit.
You're one with the fire.
And it means something. Ooh. Like, but you could go buy
your balls.
I could have gone and bought some fucking wings and came over here today. Right. But when y'all been into them damn jerk chicken wings on the grill.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It matters, man. And there's something like, I'm just like with BJ, with Sister Felicia, the passion she has. There's a reason why she is who she is and why she does what she does. It's because there's something happening when you do it. Maybe it's just love. I don't know. But there's
you
something.
Guys don't have a microwave,
it's fulfilling
do you?
You.
We do. But think about
it's
this, too.
It's fulfilling you.
When
man.
You're cooking on fire, right, and it's processes, you know, you have to keep an eye on it, no one can break your balls. You're the pit master. Like,
run the show.
I have to keep an eye on this meat, honey. You know what I mean? No one's going to tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that.
I would disagree. There's everyone's an expert when you're working the grill.
You
should flip that over.
That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying.
In this circle of people.
That's not what he's saying. There's always an expert that tries to roll in, but when you're the commander of your own situation.
People, when you're at Joey's house, he's the grill master. And if he says, oh, can you go get me a plate? You just run and get a plate. You don't have an opinion about what he's doing on the grill.
No. Yeah,
this circle of people has a deep, deep
Oh yeah,
level if, of respect if, for if one another.
Somebody
process.
Rolls up to us and tells us,
yeah, no,
might ask questions. Question,
yeah, if I don't know Craig you, might, you're like, oh, you know, what are you?
They might have a conversation, but Craig would never walk up to Joey's girl and start fucking around with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it's understood, we
right,
yeah,
right. Well, if I and ask them, but you know, it's funny. Like, there's different theory too. You know, some people have different theories, and you have to respect the other person's grill theory and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But if I'm at Craig's house, there's no fucking way I'm gonna be like.
Tell him how to do his grill.
You know what I mean? Like, I know he knows what he's doing. Trust me, he knows more than me. But like, and he would never come to me and like, you're fucking that up, Joey. Blah blah blah. You know what I mean? Like, just wouldn't do it.
Not even. But that's. But he. What he's saying is true. There's other circles. Like I'm from New Jersey. These Jersey guys will go, oh, you gotta put a little based on that beef. And oh no, they have these opinions about how, what yeah. you're supposed to be doing. And around with this crowd of guys, it's kind of a interesting. Dynamic that I've seen is different than other parts of the country or other places I've been is that they have a deep level of respect for each other's process. They would never walk up to one another and say, you know, you should that whole should thing.
Right now, Craig,
unless you question the process.
No, he would. Joey might ask, like, Greg,
theory,
how much
theory. You talk about theory, not questioning.
You're talking about theory. Bobby Fischer and Kasparov over here. We're not talking about some jerk off in the park playing chess for the first time. But you got people who come up to the grill. And there's times where, like, we'd be doing stuff at camp or whatever, and literally one of the things is we're doing bacon. We got this big roasting pan full of, it's just bacon grease, because now we've already done 8 pounds of bacon.
Right.
So I throw in the bacon and it kind of parboils in the grease, and it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And one of the staff comes up, our instructor, and says, you got to poke a hole in the bottom of that pan. Like, what? You poke a hole in the bottom of the pan, you got too much grease in there, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you're out of your mind, go do something else.
Go away.
So I turn my back. She pokes a hole in the bottom of the pan.
Fire.
It starts now, fire.
There's a mushroom cloud.
Craig wouldn't normally own a firearm, but I think in this case he might go out
so
and buy one.
There's a mushroom cloud, and we just had to step back for like 15 minutes while
the grease
it burnt down.
And
it's draining down into the coals, and now it's just... And I'm like, what's wrong with you? You know?
You just broke the golden rule.
But I think... Maybe because my experience is generally cooking for 200 people on charcoal.
Right, yeah, you got lots of amateurs with a
piece. That one looks a little burnt. That one looks a little... And you're like, yeah, some people like them burnt, so those can burn, and those ones aren't burnt, and then we'll separate them in the pan, and people can pick what they want, and if they don't want them, then I'll...
Well, God bless
move
you.
Move around next time. But I think that's what I question, like, with people coming up. Respect what people have with their home. Like, I wouldn't go into somebody's... If I came to your house for dinner, I wouldn't come into the kitchen and start... Oh, what are you doing there? That's not how you make lasagna. You make lasagna. This is how I do it at my, you know? This is how I open the can of SpaghettiOs at my house.
No. Yeah, let me bend that pan for you.
That's when you say, go home, make me some fucking lasagna, and come back with it.
So I think for the grilling
I can't
part,
wait
what
to
I was
taste
saying earlier, I think maybe one of the thoughts in that people should listen more to the Homie Cast is there's a group of people who, when they grill, have no idea that a gas grill should sit for 15 minutes. Or that... the chicken, pork, and beef dog for 99 cents for a package of 9 isn't significantly different than the all beef hot dog that's $3.99 a pack. Except I only paid $1 for these. You know that talking earlier about how much money would you spend for things that are American made, or how much money would you spend on things that are quality? Then how many times do we go, I'm going to grab this hunk of meat and try to grill it rather than.
I don't have no idea what you're talking about.
Let me get the ribeye. Let me get something that's worth spending some time on. In that process, these wings were fantastic. I honestly think part of the fantasticness for me was knowing that you busted your balls on them. And that had I ordered them from Steve's or Mike's or Mickey's or whoever's across town, and they went, yeah, we threw them on the grill for like 2 minutes so that they'd get a little... They wouldn't taste the same. I wouldn't appreciate it as I was having.
Those are perfect.
So I think my opinion is what you're saying is the food tastes better because you know you just spent 12 hours doing it.
Partial love.
That's slow cooking and that type of thing. Those ribs Sunday.
Nah, these guys are kick ass on the grill.
Yeah,
man.
They were.
No.
What's your opinion, BJ?
These guys are kick ass. These guys are like
BJ. You've had. Fucking food from everybody at this point.
Yep.
You can speak as a young man, a growing strong young man. What is your preference? What are we making any fucking sense here?
I mean, I think so. I mean, there's some, obviously there's some times like where you need food quick, and if you want to throw something in the microwave real quick, then I don't think there's a problem with that. But like, if you want to have some real good food, then you gotta and you want to put some time into it, and you can appreciate the product that comes out of the efforts. There's no doubt about it that it's infinitely better than the.
You can't replace it.
You can't replace it. It's
true.
I'm so inspired tonight. I'm throwing my microwave out. Anybody want a microwave? I have a free microwave.
Speaking of that, I am giving away a barbecue grill. I mean, a gas grill, because I have no intention of using it.
This is segueing into the gas grill situation.
We should have a contest, a GMG contest with
now,
gas
it's
grill.
It's funny, Joey and I both have
which
the same
one
gas
loser
grill.
Which FOBs want a gas grill?
And both of us don't use them, and I think we're both selling our gas grills. Yeah. Because it doesn't get any play.
No intent.
It doesn't get
any play. 2 years ago,
you always do corn on your grass grill.
If there's a big point, but that was before my smoker was over there. It was at Jones. Now my smoker's there. My charcoal grill's there. I'm getting a second charcoal grill. I got the baby third charcoal grill, and then the gas grill.
Yeah.
The gas grill literally is taking up space that could be a Weber Performance sitting there.
Right. Which we are, me and him are looking.
Which is my next.
We're on a Craigslist. Me and him are hunting Craigslist every day. To find a Weber Performer for Craig.
I've got
well,
for,
you're competing with me.
Oh, you're on there too?
Yeah, I'm on there too every day.
Oh, yeah, there we go. It's a three-way.
Craig's favorite, the three-way. Gems.
You got one of those?
Smokers, yeah. From a third party who, whatever.
What, for the camp? Y'all bought one?
We have one. So nice. if at some point we need to
Eric has one
have
his
a road trip with it.
Eric's got one too. Yeah.
And
the Winnebago. Pull out the big boy.
Oh, I can't wait to get that Winnebago. I'm so pumped.
Drag it on over and, you know.
Definitely.
Try it out for, or do a home casting.
Ooh, 105. Oof.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're good. So, wait, I want to get to BJ's topic here. BJ is going over, this is a little early for this, isn't it? When is it?
It's this weekend. It's on Sunday.
This weekend.
Sunday into Monday. It's April
Syracuse
vacation.
Freshman, BJ Mohan.
So not everybody that got into Syracuse knows that they got in there already?
Well, yeah, everyone's... No, well, it might be. I'm not sure
you know of.
It's a giant hate.
So what it is it's like an accepted student's day. There's like a limited number of spots. Granted, it's like 500 or 600 people, I'm pretty sure. And what you do is you go and you like sleep over in the big carrier domes where they have like all their sporting events. And
in the carrier dome?
Tents? It's like they have these like dividers, and there's I guess you looks like you like sleep in groups.
You're on the field.
Own, like, you're literally on the turf grass, like the turf field.
Really?
And you sleep, and there's like dividers. You're supposed
that
to.
That sounds
like,
crazy.
Yeah, and they have all these events, and there's like a hypnotist and like a comedian and all this stuff planned. And then the next day you go for like the orientation at the respective college that you're going to. So I'll be going to like the business school or whatever, and other people are going to go elsewhere.
Will you have access to the showers?
Yes.
At the stadium?
Yep.
Wow. So there's guys and girls.
Are the showers co-ed?
Hundreds of guys and girls at the stadium, and somebody's got home, somebody's got away.
Yeah.
Locker rooms.
You could shower in the same shower as Andrew Luck. Yeah?
Carmelo Anthony.
And his beard hair is still there.
What's
the question, BJ?
So the question is I'm going to meet pretty much a good
your
amount.
Grade.
I'm going to meet a good amount of my entire grade, and I don't know what to expect. Like a
freshman.
Expect the worst. I think a general rule in life
get
is,
business cards.
Expect the worst, no matter where you're going, and then be pleasantly surprised.
Well, like
bring a soap on the rope. bring some sort of a weapon. You know,
that
and
might
then
be
you don't need either of those things, but you go, ah, it wasn't so bad.
That's funny. My orientation, I remember my orientation and the people that I met on my orientation, I hung out with for all 4 years.
Well, the thing is like, so like I've been going to all guy school for 4 years, right? Like if there's a hot girl at orientation, like is it fair game or do I not?
Oh yeah, I mean, dude, this is a clean
Wait,
slate.
Why wouldn't it be fair game?
Yeah, you don't know any of these people.
In life,
no.
Hot girls are fair game.
Dude, everything's fair game. For the next 20 years, everything's fair game.
Fair
dude.
Game?
All until you get married.
Let's get him a start.
it's on.
So, maybe
I just
want
to understand
should...
the question a little bit better. What?
Okay, here's my. I'll give him my advice.
No. Seriously, like, what wouldn't be fair game? Is like, should you defer to like the guy who started varsity quarterback?
No. I'm saying like, is it like too early? Like, do I want to get nervous about like if I like fuck it up? Then like I already have like a bad reputation.
It's
for
a huge school.
The, Yeah, but even still, like,
but here's the thing.
Like, my name could get around, like now, quicker than it could.
I think your number one priority is
college than it is in high school, where most people don't actually give a shit.
Yeah. Let me try this in theory, because I never, you know, went away to college. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
That in middle school, you're, like, super sensitive, and like, oh, I have a pimple. Nobody, yeah. I can't go to school, because everyone's going to look. No one's going to look at you.
Yeah. In high school,
you're a little bit. In college, you're nearly anonymous. And there's so many people that it doesn't matter unless you go to, like, you know.
It would be a douchebag, but yeah.
No, but at the same, you want to be a decent person, yeah. just right, as yeah. a general rule. Yeah. But I think the thought of, should I be reserved and wait until I'm a junior until I do?
Hell no.
You know? No.
No, I think you want to stay true to yourself, but at the same time, the greatest memories we have are things that we probably wouldn't let our kids do today, you know? The greatest memories I have are like, oh, remember that time we went on that camping trip and I blah, 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 blah. I wouldn't want my kid to go do that. And then I go, but how can that be the greatest memory of my life? Yet I wouldn't.
What was the movie? Was it Jim Carrey where he, or was it the other guy where he had to, the yes man, where he had
liar,
to say.
Liar, liar.
Oh, liar, liar. Yeah, that was a great
movie. He had to say yes to everything.
He had to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Oh no,
yeah,
no, 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 no,
something else.
He's talking yes man with Jim Carrey, which is
where,
no matter what, he had to say yes.
He had to say
you
yes.
Want to try yoga lessons?
Yes.
So he had to say yes. So the moral of the story in the end, he did all these things that he wouldn't have normally done, and he ended up having incredible experiences because he wasn't in this little box where didn't stay in his comfort zone.
That's good.
He
advice.
Did all this stuff. My biggest piece of advice,
G. Clay.
My biggest piece of advice would be to start working out now.
I am.
That's my biggest piece of advice. I wasted.
Bring condoms.
Yeah, that too.
Study box
to this weekend. Bring them.
Right, so yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
My advice is that when I was a kid, I grew up in a really rough area, and my freshman year of high school, my parents brought me to another town, and my plan was that the first day of school I was going to beat the hell out of the biggest guy I could find to establish dominance.
Let me finish.
And so when I got there, it was like a hippie town, so it was all really chill. It was unnecessary.
Yeah.
And the point is that, you know, you don't go in thinking how it's gonna be. Just go in there open to find out how it actually is.
Right. That's good advice. But I would work out.
And work out.
Basically, to beat someone's ass is what.
Yeah, not even, no, yeah. Nothing to do with that.
It's more. It's all about confidence.
Confidence in getting tripped.
You don't have to do anything. Just show up. As long as you got $100 in your pocket, you'll be all right.
Confidence.
Well, when you don't have just fake confidence when you don't, you know, fake it till you
make. That's true. Yeah, there's something to that. All right, here's a question for the youngster.
You're getting grilled now.
I love it.
So we're just talking about this, about how these young girls on Instagram, like the model, the Instagram, like it used to be Playboy. Now it's like young girls posting pictures of themselves for free on Instagram and becoming superstars because their tits are hanging out. So here's the question I have for you. Like, you're going, and so you have friends and you have girls that you would like to date, and you're friends with them on Instagram. Don't they, if you're following these Instagram models that are taking pictures, showing pictures of themselves with their boobs hanging out, don't these other girls that, like, you know that you potentially would want to date, don't they look at you like you're a creep? Or yes or no?
Okay, well, here's the thing. So the strategy that, the way that the girls get, they all want to have, like, a certain amount of, like, they all want to have, like, at least, like, 600 followers or so to establish themselves as legitimate to all guys on Instagram. So, like, there's certain athletes at my school who, like, won't date girls that don't have, like, 500 followers on Instagram.
How could you? Wow. How could you date a girl?
That's a thing.
Right. Doesn't have 500
followers. That's actually a thing. That's awesome. Okay, wait, let him go. Let him go.
36 double D's.
Let him go. This is awesome.
Right. So if a girl doesn't have a certain amount of followers on Instagram, she could get looked over very easily by, like, a star athlete or whatever. So what the girls do is like they'll just like follow, like there'll be days where I'm like sitting in like a free block with my friends, like, well, I'll just get followed by the same exact girl at the same exact time. So because what they do is they try to follow like as many boys as they possibly can, so then they follow them back.
So what happens is that they end up following so many people, and the guys end up following so many girls, because it's just like, oh, he requested to follow you. Like, okay, I'll follow him back. Like, she's pretty hot.
Right.
So what happens is everyone just amasses these, like, massive, like, followers and people that they're following. So, like, people can't really keep track of it when you have 700 followers. It's like, it's like they don't know if I'm following, like, the Red Sox, the Celtics, and the Patriots, if I'm following the three hottest girls in the area. So it's, like, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, so mass quantities.
Unless someone's creeping on you, and then they see who you recently followed, and it's
all. See, that's not a thing, though. It's like, I'm pretty sure it's in alphabetical order. If you click on followers, it's like in alphabetical order.
Okay. Or order of how many clicks did I. How many hours did I spend staring at the screen waiting for you to post a photo?
But you can't.
At least that's
what
I hope.
Like, if you like somebody's picture, then it comes up in this, like, recent feeds. Like, if I like a girl's picture, it'll come up that said, like, BJ Mohan liked so-and-so's picture, like, 10 minutes ago or whatever.
Right.
And that stays there for however long.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's there, like, but it's...
Yeah.
Man, I used to just follow bitches down the hallway. That's the only following we did.
See where your locker is so I can hang out there tomorrow.
But the weird part is that there's guys who will just message, like, straight up girls that they've never met before in their entire life. They'll be like, oh, hey, like, what's up? Like, they obviously, like, want to have sex with them. Like, they'll just, like, message girls, like,
what are you doing?
It's a numbers game. Like, what are you doing tonight? Like,
yeah, I played the numbers game for a period of time.
Yeah. My father...
Just every girl I... Every girl that was halfway decent that I met, I said, yeah, you want to fuck? I did that for a while, and I got laid twice out of 700 girls.
In high school, my father told me that story about one of his good buddies that would do the numbers game.
Right.
And it was a good friend of his, and the guy used to hook up all the time. And I tried that out for... short period of time, and it was the worst advice anyone could ever give, because then you just look like, you know, you have to act, you know, when you're not there.
So how do you get laid often? Like me, I'm going to college, and you're like, how do I get laid often?
You work out, you gain your confidence, and you don't, and
work
when
your
you,
game work
when you
your
have
game.
When you have confidence and you have, you know, girlfriends that you hang out with, girls come to you. You don't chase girls, because I don't know. You know, it could, maybe things
are very
all,
convoluted.
Maybe things
be
are
a
all,
nice guy. Don't be a dick. Know how to make them laugh. If you can make girls laugh, you'll get laid. Period.
You gotta work.
That's actually some of the best advice.
And don't be the dickhead. You've never been a dickhead.
But you gotta develop your confidence.
You know, confidence. Joey's right.
Works 1 out of 700.
I don't want.
Joey's right.
You want better odds than that.
Confidence is everything.
You can be an ugly dude. You can be an ugly dude with confidence and get laid.
Have you ever seen
a really good looking guy with no confidence and get?
Have you ever seen with the guys in Aerosmith?
To thine own self be true. If you're who you are, then all the girls that are gonna fuck you will fuck you.
Have you ever seen the guys of Aerosmith?
What?
Yeah. They got billions of reasons to date them.
Rockers, let me finish. Rockers are not a bunch of good-looking guys, usually. They're wicked fucking confident because of what they do.
I don't think it's a good example.
It is a good example. They have swagger and confidence. You know,
Steven Tyler was selling life insurance, making $42,000 a year.
He was broke his balls. He was ugly as shit until he became a rock star because he had confidence. Confidence is everything.
So become a rock star is what you're saying.
No, be a rock star. Be your own rock star.
You don't even have to play music.
Or become a rock star.
It doesn't. Don't be fucking needy is what he's saying.
Yeah. Don't be needy. Just don't be a rapper. Don't get played.
Show of hands, since we're on podcast. Who has been overly needy at one point in their life? everybody. That worked out for us.
Every one of us. Yeah, not good. Not good. You don't want to be that guy.
Not so good.
We got to finish up on this. Rick's Insomniac's Cafe.
Oh, okay.
In case you guys don't know about this, why don't you explain it?
We must not have much time left. Basically, it's nothing.
It's funny.
Well, that was short. Yeah.
The end. Shortest topic.
Sometimes you get up, and it's like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, you're looking at your phone, whatever, and I just, you know, thought that it seems to be the same cadre of people who seem to be up all the time, and Yeah, wouldn't it be awesome if we had a place to all meet and kind of, you know, hang out?
It's called Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. So on Facebook, so we have Insomniac Cafe. The C covers Insomniac and Cafe. And so you just sort of check in and you go, hey, now serving. Last night we were serving chicken and waffles, rack of lamb, or Fruity Pebbles. Your choice.
Fruity Pebbles. Yes. Yeah.
And so it's just a thing
people
where
people chime in.
If people are still awake, they're kind of like, oh, look, here's someone else who's awake. Because I wouldn't post on your wall at 2 in the morning, hey, maybe James is up. You know,
you might post, but you wouldn't expect.
I wouldn't expect a response. Let me go through all my friends and say, "Hey,
yeah, Jerry,
how you doing?"
Post
no response. Hey, Craig, how's that? Hey, BJ, how you doing? Right. Yeah. So you decide to sort of throw out the Insomniac Cafe now serving, you know, ice cream sundaes.
So is this a Facebook page that you're creating?
He just throws it on his thing. If you follow him, you're like, oh, Rich Guy. It's not a group.
It's not a group. It's just kind of throw it on there. People make comments. They crack wise. But there'll be people who go, where is this place?
Yeah. Do tell.
What are you serving tomorrow? Can I come tomorrow? I'm like, I might be sleeping tomorrow.
It's interesting.
We gave the chef the night off.
Because I wake up at 3 o'clock every morning like clockwork. And so I'll just check out the Facebook feed or whatever. And I see Rick's Internet Insomniac Cafe.
You just crack wise.
Yeah.
Excellent. I will peep it. I like it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I think you should just start a group anyways.
Yeah, the group, then you have to like look for it. This way it's just sort of organic. It's out there. It's find funny. It, you don't find it, I don't know.
Oh man, I'm feeling blessed this week. Well, that's the Homiecast
15
in the books.
Wait, no. I want a little extension for a second.
Okay, good.
So I'm seeing a connection here. You're feeling blessed by your friends and the good feel of the dodgeball tournament.
And alcohol. And grilling.
Some alcohol and grilling. You're right, life is good.
Yep.
The same week that there's a preponderance, if I may use such a word, of lovey-dovey Facebook posts.
Ooh. Oh, I almost got out of this.
That's the topic of the week!
So I don't know if there's a connection.
1 hour and 20 minutes, I almost got out of it.
Feeling the love of the community, did that heighten? Are you feeling... Is your heart open?
Is this in reference to some of the extracurricular posts, maybe about Joey's sweet passionate love for
at least he's not.
Is that what this is?
Might as well.
Let's just get down to it.
He may as well be, but at least he's not acting.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. Is the avenue of open expression of emotional love? Is it more open to you? Has it been lubricated by the dodgeball tournament?
He said lubricated.
Is it more accepting of the
Right now, everything's firing on all cylinders.
I'm
tell you, like, there's a whole bunch of things. Right now, it's that time of year where I'm not working like a jerk, like, you know, 100 hours a week. I've been spending time with my friend. Spending time with Kate. We've been having a great time. My daughters are in a good place. Like, everything is just, the dodgeball was so fun and everything else. So, honestly, it's just everything. It's just everything right now is everything. Everything is good right now. Everything's life solid.
So, lesson to be learned.
Yeah!
But we have, good.
Seek out the beauty in life. Create more of it. And it will echo boom back to more happy times.
Dude, no doubt.
Right?
Absolutely. Great. I'm like, I honestly feel so blessed with the people that I know. You know, and I said this, I'll make this real quick, I'll wrap it up. You know, people equate like happiness with money, it has zero to do with money, right? Can we all agree on that?
Oh yeah, I'm broke, I'm happy as a motherfucker.
I'm like, to me, like the richness in my life, the happiest times that I have is with my friends. Like, when I have good relationships with my friends, that gives me the most pleasure of all. Damn.
Oh, that was beautiful, but my glass is empty, so I think we're done.
Wow.
Don't.
Only cash 15.
Boom.
Just by my fucking tongue. Big fucking body breath.